Is this on? Can people hear me okay? All right. All right, I'll call the meeting to order. We have item 1-9, proclamation regarding libraries in UW Extension Month. Mr. O'Malley, are you going to do that? Do you want me to read it, or are you busy? Can you give it to me? Where is it, Steve? Oh, okay. Whereas educational programs for agricultural professionals, businesses, communities, families, and youth are brought to the residents of La Crosse County, and whereas educational and library programs identify and respond to specific community needs for education, research, and knowledge to improve the quality of life in local communities, to strengthen families, to increase the competitiveness of business and agriculture, and to develop leadership skills for managing resources and planning for the future, and whereas libraries provide recreational and educational resources in the pursuit of lifelong learning, and whereas UW Extension programming combines faculty, campus-based specialists, and staff expertise in the area of agriculture/horticulture, community, natural resources and economic development, family living education, and 4-H and youth development, and whereas UW Extension faculty and staff and area library staff are committed to educating the residents of La Crosse County in order to promote lifelong learning and to provide a more knowledgeable and informed community, now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of September as La Crosse County Libraries and UW Extension Month and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution of persons dedicated to educating the residents of La Crosse County. Is there a motion in that regard? Moved by Margaret Wood, seconded by Tom Rauch. Any discussion on this proclamation/resolution? Margaret.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I especially would like to commend the extension for the very fine challenge that they meet so well every year at the county fair.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Next item is motion by Supervisor Burke to reconsider item 15-8 from the August County Board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to reconsider item number 15-8 from the August 21st, 2008 County Board agenda regarding a resolution for development of an adolescent center in the juvenile justice facility of La Crosse County.
And Vicki, you moved, or you voted in the affirmative or the prevailing side?
Yes, I did.
Okay, is there a second to that motion to reconsider? Second by Don Meyer. We are on the issue of should it be reconsidered. If it is, if that passes, then we go into the actual text of the proposal. But at this point, the question is just, should the matter be reconsidered? Discussion on whether or not we should reconsider that matter. Tom Rauch.
Just a quick question. In order to reconsider, what percentage or what voting do we have? Is it just simple majority? Simple. Thank you.
Correct. Any further discussion? All in favor of reconsideration, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The noes, please raise your hand. They are Bobby Erickson, and that's it. All right. Is it automatically on the floor, or do we have to make the motion? Anybody have any, Mr. Spiker, have any words of wisdom you want to volunteer? It's automatically on the floor then? Okay. Discussion on the proposal. Let's have A first, which is the staff report and review of the proposed program, before we have debate on the matter. Steve, who's leading on that?
I would ask Mr. Huber to come forward. He and I together drafted the County Board Exception Analysis, which provided you a great deal of background on this piece of legislation and can give you just briefly an overview as well as discussions that have happened since this last was considered.
Okay. Thank you. I'm under a lot of pressure to get done quickly because there's some type of football game on tonight, so I'll try to move quickly. The things that we want to let you know is basically four considerations that I put down in the proposal that you got. A lot of concerns were expressed at the last board meeting about union-related concerns. We'll try to address those. Any questions associated with budget and fiscal, we try to give you a complete analysis not only this year but for next year and actually for 3 years on the adolescent proposal that was done by Sarah Copeman, our financial manager. Also, we did hear some concerns about contracting versus internal provision of services. We'll try to comment on those. And then if there are any specific questions in regards to the program itself, We have Dave Steinberg. What I'd like to do, if it's okay with the chair, to have Bob Taunt talk about what we have done with the union.
Absolutely.
Well, whenever there's a change in staffing, this is not covered by current collective bargaining agreements. We are required to bargain the impact of the staffing changes with the union, and this started back last February when we began talking about the closing of the previous facility and soft landings for workers that were displaced at that time, and the concept of the adolescent center was brought up. And generally, there was a good feeling about that as being the next wave or the next generation of children's programs that was going to be more effective or more directed to what we needed. During the spring and summer of 2008, we met with the union several more times, trying to develop proposals and provide more information. And we did get down to discussing wage proposals based on comparable facilities in the community. At that point, Dan Pfeiffer was the union rep, and we got to a point in the bargaining discussions where we agreed to disagree. The union felt our rates were too low. The county felt that the rates were higher than any of the other local facilities. And at that point, Dan Pfeiffer said, you know, we've gone about as far as we can. We've met our obligation. He sent me an email on August 7th and said, please note that the union is not in agreement with the county's wage offer. It is my understanding that the county is now free to implement its last best wage offer. And that's the way 111.70 of the Wisconsin statutes works. When we're in the middle of a collective bargaining agreement and we have a change, we sit down and bargain impact as best we can. We're not required by the statutes to come to an agreement, but we're required to sit down at the table, and we did that. The process then is to implement, because we need to carry forward the public mission that the county's charged with, as best Jerry and his department can define that. And at the next round of collective bargaining negotiations, which will be coming up this fall, the union can then bring back the wage issue and try to increase the wage amounts for the folks involved. That's the collective bargaining process. During a contract, and we're in the 2007-2008 contract, the contract is closed, and for labor peace and for the mission of the county government, that's the way the statutes provide for the process. We have received the opener request from Dan Pfeiffer and the union, so we will be having discussions very shortly for a 2009-10 contract, and at that point we will certainly deal with wage issues if the union wishes to bring those up.
Oh, question. Okay, Ralph Geary.
On sheet you used Chilita, Cooley Youth Center, Family and Children's Center, Sparta Group Home. Were any of those unionized?
No, they're not.
Do the clients La Crosse gets, are they more difficult to deal with or is about the same?
Jerry can probably answer that better than I can, but my understanding is that it will be some of the same clients that these folks see.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How do the salaries that you're proposing under the La Crosse Adolescent Center compare to the salaries that were paid in the non-secure juvenile detention center when it operated before?
They are lower.
By?
I don't have the figures right with me. Do you have those?
I thought they were.
Did you pass that off to Bob?
They're quite a bit lower. The secure facility was equalized with the non-secure facility, which was one of the reasons that we lost quite a bit of money in the non-secure because we had one pay schedule for both sides of the facility.
Quite frankly, I think these salaries just seem atrocious. Thank you.
Other questions of Bob or Jerry? Terry Johnson.
Okay, so do you have the number now, Bob?
Find it in just a sec here. Well, this is, yeah, okay. These are 2006 rates for juvenile detention workers, and as of the as of January 2nd, 2006, the starting rate for a juvenile detention worker was $15, and the top rate was $17.72. And that was the same for both secure detention, which involves quite a bit of security, and non-secure, which is an open facility where the kids could leave anytime.
And
workers on both sides pay the same.
And can you talk a little bit about what led to the equalizing of those two groups of employees, the pay for those two?
Collective bargaining.
Okay. And can you, I don't know if this is to you or to Jerry, can you just, if it's in here, I apologize, but walk through the history, the numbers of employees that we're talking about who, you know, the past, whatever it's been, 3 years or 4 years, as these major changes have happened, the numbers of employees and how that has changed?
Dave Steinberg is our superintendent of our juvenile detention facility, and he could probably give you the history from 2006 to current. You want to come up here, Dave?
Thank you.
Tara, I promise I was listening to you, but could you restate that question, please?
If you could just walk us through the history of the numbers of employees as we've gone through these couple of big changes in the staffing and what programs were offered within the detention facility.
Can I start from 1990?
Please.
We opened up in January 15th of 1990, and that's how we got to, there was no such equalizing, is we were using the same staff. The same staff worked in the non-secure facility, the same staff worked in the secure facility. They'd work 1 month in non-secure, 1 month in secure, and they'd just keep rotating that way. So I believe that's how the same pay was developed for the non-secure workers and the secure workers. So in 2005 brings us to the closing of non-secure. And the opening of the day report, we lost with part-timers and standbys and supervisors about 13 staff. Again, there were soft landings were found, and four of the existing staff that were in the juvenile detention facility were placed in what then became the day reporting center.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Dave, but how many... Of how many total employees we lost? You said 13?
Yeah, we had 28.
Okay, thanks. So can you...
Total.
So it was 28, 13 were lost. That's what I'm looking for is number of employees.
13 were lost.
Yep.
We retained 4 for the day report center. The day report center closed. Under this adolescent center, we would be bringing, having 4 full-timers, 3 part-timers, and 4 standby employees.
Thank you.
Jeff Schrader.
So when the when it was closed, the 4, there were 4 in non-secure?
At the time it was closed, we had 27.5 employees.
Okay.
And that included supervisors, so let me take the 3 or 4 supervisors out of there. So we had 23.5 employees, and 13 of them were placed elsewhere.
And then, but you said something about 4 were retained in...
Then 4, as part of the soft landing package, 4 remained in the day reporting center that was opened in the non-secure's place.
And their wages were dropped?
They were given social service specialist pay as part of a soft landing procedure.
And these were all people that were part of the original
Juvenile Detention Center.
Juvenile Detention Center. And then when somebody comes in to relieve these people that are working in the non-secure, I guess you're calling it, or whatever it is.
The new adolescent center?
Yeah.
Whatever. I just need to know what we're talking about. I'm sorry. There's so many things we're talking about.
All right. And then where do the people come from that would, if there was a problem, where would the people come from to help out in the
so
night or whatever?
So if there was a child acting out, where would the people come from?
Uh-huh.
In the new adolescent center, there would be a duress button, and I believe that right now the response time is like right around 2 minutes or something like that for the duress button. Plus, I would be around, and there would be supervisors available. But the staff would not come from secure detention.
Who would come then?
The police.
The police?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess it's a question for Bob now. Does the county actually have a wage scale that is this low?
Yes, this is off the bottom of the AFSCME wage scales. When you get to the top level, top step of the position, you're getting into the AFSCME wage scales. Our nursing home positions paid down in this level.
A nursing home what?
The nursing home positions paid down in this level.
Nursing home physician?
No, positions.
Position? I gotta have hearing aids. So a starting nursing home position is this low of a level?
I can go get that if you like. But we do have rates down into these levels. It's you know, the rates need to be attached to something. Unless you want them attached to an existing document, the department has tried to attach them to community rates for the type of work being done. When social service rate was picked for the previous center, it was based on the type of work the people were doing, which was very similar to the social service specialist work. And so that's the rate that was chosen for those positions. And for these positions, the rates that were chosen are based on the rates you can see in the report for the community, which are higher than virtually all of the rates in the community. So we will be a magnet for anybody now working at Chilita, Cooley Youth, or Family and Children's Center. They will want to come here and work for us because they'll be getting dollars per hour more than they do at those facilities for doing the same work.
Is that it for you, Mr. Schrader? Ralph Geary?
Get back to that, Bob. Number five, advantages for the county running the Adolescent Center under G. Have you got that page in front of you? It's on page 3 of 3.
Right.
G, cost to contract this service is not likely to be less based on the business analysis prepared for this report. What does that mean? You costed it out based on the wage rates you're going to implement?
What I did, Ralph, is contact about 3 or 4 different agencies in the community over the last 2 to 3 weeks since the first resolution failed. Asked the executive directors of those agencies, one, whether they would be interested in actually doing this service, and two, at what cost. And I only got basically comments back from one agency that they would consider this. Normally with that agency, in terms of other requests for interest or requests for proposals, they could come out on a high end because they have significant administrative costs. So even if we did this in the context of request for proposal, I tend to doubt that we're going to get something cheaper than this. One of the other reasons for that is that before we even considered doing this program, we wanted to make sure that we locked in other counties in terms of purchasing beds. There's no guarantee that a private agency would be able to do the same thing. So we have a consistent revenue source coming in for the program. But again, this was based on context that we knew for the agencies that would respond to a request for proposal.
Okay, I understand that the concern about what people used to make to what they're making. On our overall budget, are we coming in with the budget at the levy limit, which I assume we are? I mean, if we move this, do we have to cut something other place? I mean, in your humans, you know what I'm getting at? The overall county budget.
Well, actually, you're going down the term of the resolution. The resolution is whether or not, the policy question is whether or not to open an adolescent center.
Right.
If the county board wants to get involved in negotiating each individual rate of individual classifications, I think that's beyond the scope of how we've been doing collective bargaining here.
No, that ain't what I'm getting at. I'm saying you're kind of down the budget process already, the overall county budget.
Right, and that's unrelated to the specific policy question before you. If we're going to start going through each individual classification and relating it to how close we are to the levy limit, I think we're going to be here a long time. The issue before the board, as I understand the reconsideration, is whether or not to consider creation of an adolescent center. Then the practice is that when you create new positions, which this does, these aren't the same positions as were eliminated. These aren't the same services. These aren't the same kids. The issue then is if you create positions, then administration under the collective bargaining agreement, as Bob described for you, is to go back to the bargaining unit, which we've done, and bargain to impasse on the new positions. Again, that's not getting into the individual details about the classification you didn't do with any other new position that you've created. Let me use as an example. When we created door security across the street, that was brand new positions. We bargained to impasse, implemented, and then those issues went into the next agreement, the next contract. We've met all legal obligations. The issue before the board is whether or not you want the county to establish and operate an adolescent facility, and then again, there's an administrative and labor negotiation process to go through. Bob described for you that the bargaining unit is not satisfied completely with the wage rate. That, again, is a subject to collective bargaining. That's not something traditionally done as part of a policy decision about whether or not you get into that service. We also do have Patty Dayton, who's here with the union, that can comment from her perspective as well. Bob has of course, illustrated that for you.
Are you asking Patty to come forward?
If, if she'd be willing to comment on where she's at. Again, I'm not trying to screen what her words are or anything else. We've tried to describe for you the labor negotiations process that's gone up to that. Again, that's part of how you establish new positions. And I've never seen a situation where we negotiate that on the board floor.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Spiker.
I think if somebody other than a board member or somebody have to request somebody else to be speak, isn't that our board rules? This is on the fringe, I realize.
Well, the board rule says that only county staff can speak without approval of the board.
Mm-hmm. Continue, Mr. Chairman. It also says that the supervisor may, somebody wants to talk out of the audience, can do it if the majority of the board agrees to it.
I was of the understanding that this was part of the overall presentation. That's why I...
It's fringe area. I removed the...
I'm a fringe kind of guy, so...
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is it's dangerous area because other people were treated different, but it's close to it. But I don't know. I still think that there should be a majority of the board approved. But that's up to you to... I'm not...
Well, if anybody objects... to Patty speaking, let me know. But sure, if you want to do it that way, that's fine.
I agree with Supervisor Spiker, so I'll make a motion that we hear Patty Dayton.
Seconded by Sharon Hampson. Discussion? John Menninger.
Point of clarification, why is she different than the other people?
I don't believe she is. It was my understanding in talking to Mr. O'Malley before the meeting tonight that we were going to hear a presentation from Bob Taunt, from Jerry Huber, from Patty Dayton, from Dave, and from himself.
Yeah, because if she's
that's why I didn't say that we needed a vote.
If she's only different because she's a union member, well, I've got a problem with that. So I'm trying to figure out why some people can talk to their county employees and some people can't.
Right.
I'd like that clarified.
Because... Dave is also not a department head, so it's not like we're saying department heads are one rule and everybody else a different rule.
We didn't vote on him.
Exactly. That's my point. That's why
I didn't.
But if people want to take a vote, I don't care.
I object because I think it set a bad precedent where one non-department head could speak, but one other one we had to vote on. So I object.
Yeah. The ordinance says that no one other than the supervisor or county.
Dave, Mike.
The ordinance says no one other than the supervisor or county staff, when requested by a supervisor, will be allowed to speak except by permission of the county board by a majority vote. So the county staff, they don't need a majority vote.
Okay, I'm going to rule that motion out of order. It is not necessary for a vote of the board. Patty, you're controversial already. But
so you ruled that it is county staff then?
She is county staff, okay, and she comes under the same rule as Jerry Huber and the rest of the folks.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Patty Dayton, president of AFSCME 2484. We were presented with the idea of the Adolescent Center back in January of 2008. We met with the department head in February, got some more of the details. We feel that there is a need for a facility like this. We were very sad to see shelter close to begin with because... we felt that the need was there for the shelter portion of juvenile detention at that time, but we did find soft landings for all of those staff. Those soft landings involved wages which were lower than the juvenile detention workers were making, but significantly higher than the salary that's going to be offered to the Comprehensive Adolescent Center workers. We did meet with management, and although we have not been able to bargain on all of the conditions of employment, we just received those last Tuesday, so we haven't had a chance to meet on some of the details about the employment. We did reach an impasse on the wages. And as Bob said, that now the county is authorized to implement their last best offer on wages, and we'll have to take that up in bargaining, which we're going to be starting next month. Questions?
Do you have any questions for Patty? Chuck?
Was it mentioned that if we didn't do it this way that they may privatize it? Was that talked about?
They mentioned that there were board members who requested that they explore whether or not these services could be provided by outside vendors. That was mentioned to us, yes.
Is the union rep, did you take that as a threat or part of?
It's unsettling because we feel that that's not the best way to administer a program. When it's a for-profit organization, you don't get the same type of dedication to the clients that you're serving as when it's done in-house. So, of course, that bothered us also. But we discussed wages with Mr. O'Malley and with Jerry this afternoon. Weren't able to nudge them any higher. The lowest pay scale in our union contract is $12.03 an hour for building services worker, which are the scanners for the courthouse, and the mail processing clerk. It would have been great if we'd have been able to at least get it to the bottom of our pay scale, but we were not able to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for Patty? Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it acceptable to ask about educational qualifications for these positions?
Sure.
Okay, I'm curious. Are these positions filled by people who have had some post-high school?
I can get the qualifications. Fran, do you have that? Okay. Requirements of job, knowledge and practice, rules of confidentiality, basic understanding and knowledge of children with mental health and developmental disabilities, ability to verbally provide support and encouragement to children in a non-judgmental manner. These are requirements. Ability to relate to children and their caretakers in an understanding manner with concerns for their circumstances and feelings. Ability to work in a team atmosphere utilizing a strength-based approach. Ability to work collaboratively and tactfully with a variety of community professionals, county personnel, law enforcement, and caretakers of children with special needs. Ability to learn, understand, and conscientiously observe center rules, regulations, and policies pertinent to children in the center and their conduct. Ability to follow oral and written instructions. Ability to work effectively with behavioral patterns of difficult adolescents, ability to make sound decisions in crisis situations, ability to maintain complete and legible records as directed and to communicate in writing the behavior of children who are being stabilized, basic skills and good observation and alertness, and then training experience and other requirements, although we were told these were not required for hiring for the job. They have graduation from high school or GED, preference given for advanced education in psychology, sociology, criminal justice, or human services or related field, previous work experience with juvenile delinquents, youths in crisis, corrections, alternative care, children with special needs, human services, or similar facility. Be certified or willingness to attain certification for crisis support under HFS 34 Wisconsin State Statutes. Must successfully complete a reference check and criminal background check as required. Must be available to work various shifts and remain on the unit for 8 to 16 hours without leaving.
And are the people that are going to be filling these jobs, are most of them, do they hold a BS or a BA in child psychology or?
That I can't answer. We had no internal bidders when this posting went up for the members of our bargaining unit.
Okay. And then in the comparison, and maybe Jerry, you could talk about, when we talked about the nursing home, I can't remember. Did Bob say nursing home assistants, or is he talking about CNAs, or?
Yes.
So CNAs are at this same kind of pay level? Okay, thank you.
Did you want to know the qualifications? I have the pay levels for the CNAs.
What? No, I just didn't know what you were comparing them to. I wasn't sure.
At Lakeview, the lowest rate we have is $9.69, and which goes up to $10.71. At Hillview, the lowest rate is $8.03, and goes up to $8.96. Certified nursing assistants at Lakeview, which is an AFSCME facility, starts at $11.68 and goes to $12.67. At Hillview, the CNA is $10.75 and goes up to $12.42. The CNA requires completion of a course over at TC, which is multiple week, but it's not a degree of any kind. That's a certification. And these positions, although, you know, you always hope to get people that have superior qualifications, these jobs require a high school education.
Don Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for Bob or Steve. Aren't labor negotiations typically done in a closed session atmosphere, or aren't we on the fringe of kind of dabbling in that tonight, of stuff being divulged that was discussed there and should have stayed there? I've never been in all the years I've been here. I've never discussed wages and things like this on a county board floor. It's been committee or the departments that did it. I'm just amazed it's happening.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think what we have here is it's a mess, and it should never have gotten to this point. This is ridiculous. The union, as far as I can tell, is okay with this but not thrilled. The staff thinks it's a better idea than what we currently have, and the Health and Human Services Board decided it was the right thing to do for the clients because that's what we do. We do what's best for the clients. Now what I'm hearing is, like Don said, we don't do this with any other item of business. This is ridiculous. I don't want to know the pay scales of everybody in every position. I mean, human services, how could I even keep up with all the different pay scales for all the people we hire? That's not my job. Another thing that disturbs me is I'm hearing some of the same people who are in favor of contracting out services because it would save us money, now saying they want to raise the wages so we can spend more. You can't have it both ways. We contract out because it saves money because those people get paid less. That's too bad, and I'm sorry about that, but that's not my business. As a board, we don't do collective bargaining, and we don't represent the union. What we do is we set policy. The policy question is, would developing an adolescent center be the right thing to do for the clients? And the answer at the Human Services Board, Health and Human Services Board, was yes, it's the right policy. And it came here, and it's just been blown all out of proportion. And this is, I just don't believe that any of this discussion should even have taken place, and I move to close debate.
There are people who have not had a chance to speak or ask questions yet, so I'm not going to allow that motion at this time. People deserve to have a chance to. So far, we've really only been asking questions, so we haven't really even started debate, so sorry. Point of order?
Will the continuing debate then refer specifically to the business of the resolution? Or are you planning on it going to the broader?
I think, strictly speaking, Mr. Meyer is correct. We don't normally get into the details of collective bargaining, but are we prohibited under Robert's Rules of Order from talking about the issues that have come up? No, we haven't. So, I mean, in terms of policy governance, we shouldn't be straying where some people have strayed. But in terms of the rules of order, I can't say, shut up, you're getting in an area that you don't have the right to talk about. So that's why I've allowed it. I mean, I would prefer people stick with the way that we've done policy governance here, but you have a right to ask questions about some of these details.
Because, well, I can't speak of.
Okay. Leon Paff is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just got a quick question, maybe for Bill. Is how much influence would these negotiations here have if you changed them and upped the rate like some people want it to be? Would it have on Hillview and the West Salem facility? Would those union employees be feel left out, neglected, or would that have an influence, or is it a ripple effect?
Oh, you give me an impossible question to answer. If it's known that the county board is giving away money, everybody will be in line.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a quick question on the exception analysis. Number four, who supports the concept of the adolescent center, it states that Mark Carey of the Carey Group has been consulted on this initiative to see how it fits into our continuum of services. Mr. Hebert, and I guess my question is, he's been contacted, but what was his response, and when was he contacted?
Mr. Burns, about three times I talked to Mark. The one thing, as probably most of the board knows, he's doing a comprehensive study on our juvenile justice system. The thing that he wants to hold off on is any firm recommendations specifically about the adolescent center. However, the person that actually is in charge of the project, Christine Toner, who is from New York City, had emailed me in support of the adolescent center. So even though it didn't come directly from Mark, Christine has indicated support of it as part of our continuum of services.
So Christine is a member of the Carey Group?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Jim asked a question relating to the exception analysis report, and I'm glad that he did. If you have questions and you have not read the exception analysis report, you should cross your name off of my list to call on, because many of the answers are in there. So if you haven't read it yet, please do read it, and we can move along a lot quicker. And, you know, skim it right now if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, because I got a number of people on the list here, and I'm hoping that you're going to ask questions that aren't already answered in your materials, and we get next to Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad you just gave me the segue to the exception analysis also, because while I share the frustration with many members who have already spoken, and I wish that we weren't talking about this tonight, I was very frustrated 2 weeks ago when this first came, and we weren't able to get passage of the resolution because there was information missing. And we asked committee members if they could provide insight into some of these questions, and it hadn't been discussed in depth at Health and Human Services Committee. There were lingering questions. In my opinion, or my assessment, that's what led us to this point of needing to reconsider this. This exception analysis is terrific. It's got a lot of information, and in a perfect world, this would have gone to the committee so that they would have had the background to be able to answer questions when we debated the resolution initially and avoided what's happened, in my opinion. And so I would just add to the frustration that the concern we have about negotiating and talking wages and, you know, the other language that we've used in the past few minutes about this resolution or the reconsideration comes from this exception analysis where those numbers are listed. We're asking questions and we're talking about an exception analysis that came to us as a full county board because this was coming up for reconsideration. And I, again, in a perfect world, it wouldn't have happened this way, but that's the way it happened. And I think we've had great discussion tonight. I wish that it had happened in a different way, but I, you know, at the risk of sounding defensive, I think it, you know, there was kind of a natural process that led us to this point and discussing topics that might otherwise be very uncomfortable for us.
Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to reconsider the resolution simply because I noted some concerns, and it would give me some time to weigh the concerns and the benefits of the program. From that, having that time and talking to people, I certainly feel that the benefits of the program far outweigh some concerns that might be there, and that this is really what led me to ask for the reconsideration of the resolution. I just think that people with whom I spoke, and also a greater explanation of the program, leads me to that conclusion. So I would ask to close debate and move up.
We have a couple people who haven't spoken yet.
Right.
We're getting there, though. Audrey. Don Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Steve O'Malley, and that is, as I understand the state budget and the implications of putting our budget together, any new program is exempt from a negative impact on the state budget. Do you call this a new program now? And we have money in last year's budget for the old program that we have, and now we're going into a new one. And how does that stack up in regards to the budget as the state would look at it?
This policy decision has nothing to do with the state. We still have to live within levy limits. Changing a program, changing a service, deleting a program, adding a new program, all has to be done within levy limits and has nothing to do with the regulation by the state in that regard.
Don, I think that applies if you pick up a program. We had that discussion when we talked about maybe taking over the airport.
That would be a new program. Well, isn't this somewhat similar to that then?
No, it's
a brand new program.
This is all within the family and children's services that we need to provide.
Okay.
Whether we contract for it, whether we provide it in-house, we have to take care of the responsibility of these children.
Okay, so it's an even wash then. All right, good.
Ann Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree that we should not be talking about salaries and union negotiations at a policy planning meeting, but I also think when we start the meeting, first of all, we got the handout on the exception analysis report that listed all kinds of salaries. Then we start out the meeting with the personnel director and the head of the union. That how could we not talk about it? You know, I don't think it is not a policy decision, but I'm frustrated like Tara is that I think it forced us into that tonight, and it probably shouldn't happen, but it did. And also I'm responding to a constituent who called and who happens to work in this field, not for the county, but she does work in this field and is all for encouraging me as her representative to support this. But she was just dismayed by the salaries. So I'm responding to a constituent also, and I'm sorry if we were out of line here tonight, but I think it was pretty much in the cards by the information we were given to start with. Thank you.
Maureen Friedland.
Yes, my question had to do with timing. There were some statements made at the last meeting about how it was necessary to go forward at this time very quickly, and I wonder, Jerry, if you could explain that a little bit and if that is, in fact, the case or not the case.
Yeah. Dave Steinberg, the superintendent, could speak to this also. My understanding is that the State Department of Corrections, or is it DHS, Department of Health Services has already licensed the facility. They have indicated that if it's delayed in further months, they would have to come out and basically reconsider the license. Is that correct?
No, I don't.
Dave, can you come up to the podium?
In this process, I've been stopped and started many times. I've had roadblocks put up in front of me. We applied for the license, and you have 6 months to have staff hired and children in there. If I don't have staff hired and children in there by the end of October, I have to write a extension. Our licensor says extensions aren't looked favorably upon. So we'd really like to have people in there and children in there by the end of October, but she says it's not the end of the world. And as learned from in past experiences, I don't want to rush this. If we're going to do it and have a county thing, we want to do it right. So we would like to be in by the end of October, but we can write the extension and have a little extra time.
Okay. Jill Billings.
Thank you. In committee, we've been talking about this for months, and I think that staff has done a good job of apprising us of the situation. We wanted a solution here with this center. We haven't been happy with it for on and off for a year, and I think they've come up with a good plan, bottom line. This in committee, it's true, we did not receive the details of the ASFE meetings. We didn't receive comparisons of starting salaries at other agencies that are similar. But quite honestly, in our meetings, we don't generally talk about things like that. We look at the policy and discuss the policy, and we leave union negotiations up to department heads and personnel, and that's the way I would like to continue down the line. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's a good way to do business, and I'm satisfied with that process. I felt like we were blindsided at the last meeting with the details of bargaining, and although I think that's important, I don't feel like it's my place as one of 35 to enter into those discussions. I leave it up to our hired staff who are professionals who handle this. So I hope that we can just move on with this. It's a good program. It'll be a great part of our continuum of care with kids in this county. And as you see, it's gotten praise from other agencies in town. I hope we can just move on with it.
John Manninger.
Well, you know, I chafe a little bit at this policy governance thing, as you know, anyway. And it, with all due respect to some people have talked, I didn't come down here just to be a rubber stamp for department heads. Might as well be doing something else. And so I compliment Supervisor Flood on shaking things up a little bit, frankly. I think that's good once in a while. You know, I used to be mayor of La Crosse, you know that. And, of course, they're looking at having a city administrator. We have a county administrator here, so some of it's just apples and oranges. But I made some mistakes early on when I was mayor, and that was listening to department heads and not listening to the rank and file. And I learned the hard way, frankly, that sometimes the information I got from department heads wasn't all that good. But in a weak mayor system, there's not much you can do about it, because then they'll run to the city council and suck up to them for a while. But I do think that Supervisor Flood made a good point today and last month about sometimes looking beyond the presentation and talking to somebody else at a different level and seeing if they agree or if they're on the same page. You know, one more thing about being mayor. Somebody said I'm management. You know, now that you're mayor, you're management. I said, I'm not management. When did I become management? I've never been management my whole life. He said, well, you're the CEO of the city. I said, that's chief elected officer, not chief executive officer. You represent the people. You're not management here, and if you folks, 35 people on the county board, think you're management, I'd argue that you're not. You're an elected official representing your constituents. So thank you very much.
Bobby Erickson.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just curious, if this does get voted down, what exactly is the plan for the center? Is it going to just be dead in the tracks, or are we gonna try to rework this or privatize any? What exactly will be on the future agenda for this?
It would seem to me if the board votes this resolution down, staff would have to regroup and make a recommendation through the budget process and through Department of Human Services, specifically the Health and Human Services Board, and get direction from you. My understanding is you would either vote this resolution up or down, and then we'd have to reconsider what recommendation to make to you. This item is included in your 2009 budget. Based on that is our best recommendation. If you gave us different direction, we would follow what you tell us to do. By a majority vote, of course.
Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, sir. For the superintendent, who authorized you 6 months ago to seek this license?
My boss, Mary Ellen Princeton. I mean, we went for it. It was in April. It looked like it was a go. And as Mr. Huber had said before, he put lots of roadblocks in front of us to make sure that this was done right, to his credit. So it just keeps getting put off and put off and put off. The licensure process is about a two-month process. It's a ream of paper and inspections and whatnot. So I was told to go ahead with that in anticipation, but then again, we had roadblocks placed in front of us.
So I'm correct in assuming that was not done with the committee's permission, HHS committee or anyone? I think we're back to this problem we had with the out at the landfill, where our bureaucrats are going ahead and doing stuff without a proper authorization, either from committee or the board. And I just am a little concerned over this.
Mr. Ebert, I could go back into my records, and I would have to say probably in the last 9 months of this year, the Health and Human Services Board has considered the issue of juvenile justice, the closing of the day reporting, the opening of this center, probably almost every month, at least in the context of my reports, are basically in the context of an exception analysis similar to what you have received today. Basically, it was in the aspect of full disclosure. I understood that the department was going ahead and consulting with the state about the potential that the facility could be licensed. One of the concerns for that is if we had to do significant structural changes for the existing center, there'll be no way financially that we could afford this. I have to remind the board that the reason that we closed the shelter facility is that it cost us $450 a day for a single individual to be in that facility, which is about two times the cost of some of the most expensive residential facilities in the state of Wisconsin. What drove up those costs? Guess what? Staff cost. We were looking basically within the context of the budget of what we practically could afford. So the reason we went ahead and looked at the possibility whether we could consider licensing the facility was strictly to see if there would need to be major structural changes to the facility.
Okay, I guess. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Also, and Health and Human Services Board members can verify this even more than I, since the decision to close non-secure, you have been asking for additional alternatives, grilling us on what those alternatives might be, and pushing month after month, ever since that happened, for looking over the alternatives and asking for a recommendation. I look at Supervisor Billings has been very, very concerned, strict, and holding us to account on what other options we have. Also, I disagree a little bit, Mr. Ebert. By us making sure that we could get this licensed and operating doesn't commit the county to go ahead and do that. It just says that if we do that, we can assure you what the cost of operation. If you choose not to approve this, you're not out anything other than the staff time to develop the practice. Unlike the concern that you raised about Mr. Tippett's and a change order, which we've corrected and made sure that those kinds of things don't commit the county. So please understand, this has been with the direction, involvement, and guidance of the Health and Human Services Board all along. And if you vote this down, we're not out anything on a facility that would not be followed through on for a license, unlike your concern about a construction contract.
Yeah, and again, I'm not against this. I think we get our procedures goofed up, and I guess I would prefer that the committee would have okayed to go ahead and get a licensing done. Question number two, then I assume the HHS committee is who authorized closing the shelter in February?
That's correct. They were involved in that decision.
Okay, and then the last question is, there was $400,000+ authorized for the shelter. Again, I'm going to use rough figures. I don't have them in front of me. Then some of that was used for, when you close it, you use some of that for another purpose, leaving $300,000+. And I'm wondering, was that change, or the money you used for some other purpose, was that authorized by the committee, or was that done by the bureaucrats?
No, that was in the context of the budget. Basically, the operation of the Adolescent Center was in the budget and the context of creating soft landings, and basically the continuation of Family and Children's Services was all within the context of the budget for 2008.
And was the committee advised of all of this?
Yes, they were.
Okay. And then, okay, thank you very much.
Are there any other board members who have not spoken once that wish to speak? Because I at the end of my list of first go-arounds, I got a couple people that want to speak again. Does anybody who's not had a chance to speak want to at this point? Okay, I have Ralph Geary, had another.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's been some discussion about what's appropriate or inappropriate questions at the meeting. We have a corporation counsel. We have a personnel director. If anybody asks something that should be better handled in closed session, Mr. Taunt or Mr. Lang or the corp counsel sitting up there should interject. What was given out tonight by Mr. Taunt and I think Supervisor Flood was public record. Anybody could go into Mr. Taunt's office and say, give me a copy of the what people get paid at Lakeview. Give me a copy of what people get paid at Hillview. Give me a copy of what the jailers get paid or whoever you want. That was all public record. If somebody asks an inappropriate question, corporation counsel or the personnel director should be interjecting that we'll handle that in closed session at a future meeting.
Well, and likewise, the first line of defense is the chair, and I haven't heard anything yet that I'm going to rule out of order. Jill Billings, I think you're last.
Thank you. I'm trying not to be defensive about my committee and the work we've done, but this is our packet for tomorrow. And if you think staff doesn't give us enough information and keep us apprised of issues, you are wrong. You're simply wrong. We get good information from the staff, and I appreciate it. We've been involved in this. County Board Supervisors have been involved in all aspects of this from the beginning. In fact, if you talk to Wade Anger in the Human Services Department, he refers to this as Jill's issue. And not with a smile on his face, but with a grimace. So we've had a lot of contentious battles and discussions with staff. Mary Ellen Princeton has been with our department for 40 years, and she was put on the hot seat quite a bit about this issue because it's very important to us. Our meetings last 4 hours sometimes, and you're welcome to come and join us. I do at least an hour of prep work for every hour in my committee, and just because we get a general information on union negotiations and not the details of exactly what's going on with specific numbers doesn't mean that we are rubber stampers, and I actually find that term a bit insulting. Thank you.
The item before the board is item 2-9, development of an adolescent center in the juvenile justice facility of La Crosse County. That is on the floor. Passage requires a two-thirds vote of the entire board, which means 24 people. We will vote on that at this point. I'm going to try doing this verbally and count the...
Request a roll call vote, please.
Okay, then I won't do it that way. We'll do the roll call vote. Go ahead, Marion.
Ben Ruth. Burns?
Aye.
Billings?
Aye.
Hillings?
Aye.
Milskamper?
Aye.
Bina?
Aye.
Rockmiller?
Aye.
Burr?
Aye.
Doyle?
Aye.
Ebert?
Aye.
Erickson?
No.
Fisher?
Aye.
Flood?
Aye.
Friedland?
Aye.
Gamrot?
Aye.
Geary?
Aye.
Hampson? Jay Johnson?
Aye.
Terry Johnson?
Aye.
Cotter?
Aye.
Kyle?
Aye.
Mott?
Aye.
Manti?
Aye.
Menninger?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pedretti?
No.
Leon Papp?
Aye.
Flesha?
Aye.
Rout?
Aye.
Richmond?
Aye.
Schrader?
Aye.
Spiker?
Aye.
Veenstra?
Aye.
Wood?
One no.
There was one no that and more than 24 yeses, so that resolution passes. Under the circumstances, our county administrator has promised to keep item number 3, the 2009 budget update and identification of major issues, to a limited number of slides tonight so that people can go and do whatever it is that you want to watch on television after we're done here tonight.
I'm going to go very quickly through this. As the chairman promised, there are only 5 slides. I didn't make copies because I just wanted to quickly bring you up to date on where we're at. Darn things coming in one slide at a time. But let me just touch very quickly on this. Most of these items that you've seen before, but I've put a little bit more teeth to what we've done. You will be getting your budget documents next week, so you'll get all of these details and summaries. Obviously, the 2% levy limit puts a constraint on us of only $500,000 of additional levy authority. Average investment rates from last fall to now have dropped from 5.3% to 2.8%. Mr. Engelson will be updating the executive committee. That significantly impacts the ability of us to use interest revenue to control property taxes. Sales tax revenue has been steady, but it's flat. Luckily, so far, it's not dropping lower than what we had projected. Wage settlements obviously have all yet to be determined. What we've used is the highway department as the internal comparison, but recognize that all of that has to be bargained. It's currently set at a 2-1 split. A number of the increased costs that are impacting our ability to bring you a budget include asphalt costs up by 70%. Patrol law enforcement gas will be up by $45,000 next year with no additional revenue. Utilities are up over $100,000 for heat and lights of our buildings. Register of deeds revenue is down $73,000. State aid tax computer exempt funding is down by $70,000 due to the recent legal decision that was made. So significantly impacting us in a number of ways of revenue. All of that revenue, by the way, that's identified there ends up having to come from property taxes, because that $70,000 that was used to reduce property taxes. Register of deeds revenue reduced to reduce property taxes. We need to start adding 5 new jailers in 2009. The training process, the orientation process, and of course dealing with a operation of a jail during construction will need us to start to hire those jailers next year. The state, in their infinite wisdom, does not provide any exemption to levy limits to operate a jail or to be able to hire staff. Justice sanctions are losing the final year of the drug court grant. We'll have to make up that within our existing levy. And, of course, new judges are utilizing electronic monitoring and SCRAM units more than the previous judges, because in the interest of public safety, they want to do everything they can to make sure that we're protected of the people that are released into the community. We have significant capital improvement needs at Lakeview, which we'll be talking about how to finance. Courts revenue is also down, and attorney costs are up, which is about a $250,000 loss just in that budget. Home health revenue is down from the CMO, and we're going to be bringing those policy issues to the Health and Human Services Board first, but it continues to be a non-mandated service that provides a level of service that the revenue does not cover the full cost of home health. This has been an ongoing issue well before my tenure. It will continue to be an ongoing issue each year that we deal with in the budget. And, of course, slowing tax base growth. Mr. Spiker and I were visiting earlier this today on this. While it's only 1.79% growth in the entire county, the actual market value and new construction growth in Holman is one of the largest. It's like $41 million this year, and I think it's $100 million in all of La Crosse. And a good substantial portion of that is captured in the TIF district, so it doesn't end up actually generating directly things that pay for county tax levies. But I did have a green slide, so it's a little bit more positive than that. But as we've gotten into this, I just wanted you to understand that the challenges have gotten even more difficult, but we will bring you a balanced budget within the targets that we've suggested earlier. Favorable bond rates and refinancing will generate interest savings, and we're cautiously optimistic that when we bring in the refinancing next Thursday, that it may be even a little bit better than we had projected. And then, of course, the bond issue for the first part of the LEC will be brought to you in October after you see the law enforcement center bid. So we want to have those as two separate issues. Paying off the pre-2005 debt has given us a little bit more room within the budget, gives us a little bit more levy authority, but not much more. Health insurance claims have been down this year. It ends up putting us in a position that we will be able to provide you a little bit of good news for at least 1 year on health insurance. It will help us be able to bring in a budget. That we continue to be in a strong financial position, particularly because 2005, 6, and 7 generated additional interest over and above what was budgeted, and that's helped to put our general fund in a positive position. And, of course, the Mississippi Valley Health Services Collaboration will end up saving long-term and short-term tax levy costs. And we were visiting with the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee about that earlier. You will get details in your budget as well as decisions involved with that. Timing of the new LEC debt should help to moderate the percentage of levy increase. We'll talk about that. How you time the actual payments on each of those debt while we're still paying off the old law enforcement center will give you the ability to moderate that and can help to reduce the tax levy percentage impact on the general public, and we'll give you some of those choices. And obviously the old landfill fund frees up about $2 million for roads. Our recommendation will be to apply $1 million to each of the next 2 years towards road building. Oops. Can you back that up one? The major issues that will come to you, and we'll give you more details, and I just want to remind you, if you have issues that you don't think we've identified that you want to add, one of the reasons we keep having future agenda items at the end of every session as well as during budget is if you have items you want us to specifically prepare for or give you information on for policy decisions, let us know. We will talk about the benefits and issues related to program and position cuts. I've gone back and reviewed the list that we brought to you of non-mandated services 2 years ago, and I'm prepared to talk about and address those issues. Fees and charges, particularly in three key areas, aging meals, we've already discussed with the Commission on Aging, asking for an increase in donation. That increase in donation, by the way, will only make up approximately one-half of the cost of increased meal cost to our seniors. Land conservation in the states and the federal government's infinite wisdom. We have another unfunded mandate dealing with stormwater. We need to begin to staff for that. And by the way, there's no additional revenue to pay for that. We will end up increasing some fees in some areas that have not been addressed since 2000 or 2001 in land conservation, but we still will not be able to cover the full cost of the position that's needed in that area. Health department and other smaller changes. Humane Society is asking for some increased payment for their costs, and dog license fee increases are being recommended. That will come through Health and Human Services Board, and by the way, we'll be talking about that at this month's meeting to begin to get some additional direction. Prevention programs in human services continue to be a very difficult challenge. Not all of them were able to be included in the budget. You will have an option as Health and Human Services to reinstate that, but utilize fund balance. We weren't able to fund all of those from the property tax budget that we're bringing you. Cooley Mediation Services is asking for some increase. We do have a slight increase in there, but we've issued them a challenge to provide matching funds for anything that we would consider. They do provide a vital service, but again, that will come through Health and Human Services and to the full board. Home health costs, as I touched on, continue to be a problem. It is a non-mandated service, and the CMO is ended up bringing in other providers in the home health field to provide some of those services. In the past, we were the only show in town, so to speak. The library levy, we learned that the Department of Revenue has changed their interpretation of levy limits in relation to library levies, and that if you choose to begin to fund the expansion in Mindoro, you can do that on the library levy. We are including a two-year process of ramping up to provide the staffing. Remember, that's on the county levy. The facility and everything is on the local levy, not on our individual area. But the levy outside the city of La Crosse is for the library. And in relation to the folks in Mindoro, we have budgeted to provide a two-year ramp-up to be able to provide that staffing. And so that will come through the library board and to the executive committee and to the full board. Mississippi Valley Health Services revenue and the Lakeview Capital Plan will help to provide long-term for Lakeview, but also help to moderate the growth and reduce the property taxes for Lakeview Healthcare Center. There will be a number of position requests that that I turn down. There are also some that I will recommend to you. The largest one, of course, is the five jailers. There are other valid requests that I was not able to include within the budget that you'll also hear about. Finally, we'll end up, as has been suggested, in each year we address fund balance levels and usage, and there are usage of fund balance as I believe are appropriate. I can justify each one of those comparisons, or each one of those recommendations, but also recall, especially for board members that are not brand new, you get a detailed comparison year by year of exactly where we're comparing that from, what we've utilized from one year to the next. We'll walk through that, as well as a two-page summary of your entire financial statement and all any fund balance and reserves that are there. So we believe we've got a pretty a conservative way of dealing with that, but also a responsible way of helping to moderate the impact on the property tax levy. And finally, obviously, what is the overall final levy and the percentage increase? The last slide that I have is that the next steps for the 2009 budget consideration, as we understand the schedule, and it's subject to your change in direction. Next Thursday, you will receive the detailed budget book and all of the summaries that are involved, the levy summary by department, the fund balance sheets, the each one of the summaries that are involved with that. The Law Enforcement Center bids for the Law Enforcement Center Construction Committee will come October 1st. The bids will be received the week before that, and we'll provide those to the Law Enforcement Center Committee and then on to the full county board at your October 6th meeting. The only item on the October 6th meeting is to deal with the Law Enforcement Center bids and awards. The committee budget reviews then will begin planning and resources and development at your next regularly scheduled meeting, September 29th. Other governing committees, October 6th and 7th, and the executive committee then October 8th. An additional review will be set by that committee. It's generally the next to last 2 weeks, either October 20th or October 27th. During those weeks, the executive committee generally sets a budget review meeting. Full board budget discussion, of course, is at the first meeting of the month, which is the November 3rd meeting. The public hearing is the 10th. You cannot, by law, have a meeting on Tuesday, the 11th. It obviously is Veterans Day. So your annual meeting and budget adoption by state statute is for November 12th. I also indicate up there any additional meetings as directed by the county board. If you want additional full county board budget review meetings, we'll need to get those on the calendar sooner rather than later. We can do that. Individual committees, if we don't spend enough time with you and you want to have additional budget review with your committee on your specific areas, obviously we'll schedule those at your convenience and make sure that that's responsive. And finally, individual meetings of question and answer with board members as you get this information. Some of you take advantage of that. Some of you don't. I make myself available. Gary will be available. Any individual department head, if you need additional information on just not trying to persuade you on what to do or not doing the budget, but you want to understand what the impact is of X, Y, or Z, or you don't understand some particular line item or program that we've tried to explain to you, we will make ourselves available to make sure that we help you with any one of those issues. That's my five slides. That probably took longer than I expected to. I mainly wanted to get to this point so that you knew what we're bringing you, and I'm not looking for direction on any of those individual things, unless right now you have things you want to make sure that we bring to you. I'll also have this report just as a line item under County Administrator Report. So if you think about it between now and next Thursday, you want to make sure we bring you additional items during budget review. We certainly will.
Questions, comments for Steve? Tara Jensen.
Just quick, November 12th, the state tells us we have to meet on November 12th?
Cannot meet on Veterans Day.
Right, I got that. But do we have the option of doing it some other time on Monday or later in the week? It has to be on the 12th?
No, we will be meeting on Wednesday instead of Tuesday.
Because we have to have it within a certain time frame of the public hearing, or
right,
we have to have it by a certain date,
right,
or what's the...
It can't be the night of the public hearing.
Right. I think I think the statute says it has to be like the second Tuesday or something. Gary, do you have...
It says second Tuesday except for when it falls on Veterans Day.
Yeah. Second Tuesday except when it falls on Veterans Day.
And then it has to be on that Wednesday. It has...
No.
The Department of Revenue requires or requests that we have our levy to them by November 15th, so that's what's driving the county board meeting.
Right, but so we are saying the 12th because it's the next available day. I guess I'm just asking that we look at that and make sure that that's the best day. We may need to meet on Thursday during the day, the 13th. So I guess I'm just making sure everybody pays attention to.
If we would not finish on the 12th, we would go into the next day.
Right. But can everybody be here on the 12th? Because it's a Wednesday, which tends to cause problems for some people who've been on this board for a number of years. So maybe we could just make sure everybody checks that now that we've been noticed.
And in a minute, I'm going to go through some important dates. So if people have calendars, I would ask that you pull them out because I want to talk about some things coming up over the next several weeks. Audrey? Pardon? Yes, and I will mention that in just a minute. Okay, here are some meetings that are coming up that may be of interest to you, and I'm just going to go through my calendar and tell you what they are. Next Wednesday, the 17th, is a jail visitation meeting. It's going to deal with two issues. It's going to show the floor plan and how jail visitation will work, which you'll recall has been an item of contention or had been an item of contention in the past, but has been basically worked out, but now we've got the new facility. And one of the things that we're talking about is video visitation. There's going to be a demonstration of how that works. We're inviting the local defense attorneys to that meeting. That will be Wednesday the 17th at 4 o'clock. Do we know where that is? Right down the hall. All right, so that is Wednesday the 17th. Then going to the next, looks like 2 weeks later, as Steve mentioned, October 1st, which is a Wednesday, is the bid opening or bid approval at the committee level for Law Enforcement Center Committee at 4 o'clock. So if you're interested in knowing those initial bid numbers when they come in before it gets to the board the next week, that's 4 o'clock on October 1st. Upstairs, third floor, 3220. All right. Then we have the following Monday, October 6th, is County Board Policy Planning. And as Steve said, we're talking about the Law Enforcement Center and the bids and so forth, and that'll be at 6 o'clock. Next thing that I see is the budget stuff. Those two dates that you need to make note of. The public hearing is Monday the 10th at 6 p.m. And November 10th, yeah, we're in November. Monday, November 10th, 6 p.m., public hearing on the budget. Wednesday, November 12th at 9 a.m. is our budget meeting, which potentially could go into Thursday. Has not really happened in recent years. But that you should at least leave that as a potential day that we could carry over into if we don't finish things on Wednesday the 12th. Does anybody know of any other meetings that people think we need to know about? Sharon?
Yeah, the meeting for looking at a permanent facility for the Women's Community-Based Program.
Yes, thank you. What is the date of that one?
Tuesday the
16th. Tuesday? Okay, so next Tuesday, the 16th, 6:30 p.m. That's upstairs?
B-190.
Oh, B-190, okay, down the hall. Okay. So, and we have invited a number of individuals throughout the community to participate in that, and looking for starting the process. We've committed that, assuming that things get approved, that will be a one-year duration at that Northside location and not any longer. So we need to make sure this process keeps moving. So that's next Tuesday the 16th at 6:30. Any other meetings people know about? Ray?
Just a question. Where is the public hearing going to be?
Right here. Yeah, that time that we did it at Logan was the year that we were talking about possibly making all sorts of cuts all over the place. This is, I don't want to call it a normal year since none of them seem to be normal, but it's the traditional approach, I guess. Other meetings people need to know about or questions about? Steve, any that we need to know? Okay, anybody have any future agenda items that you want to talk about or get on the agenda? Don?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, nothing that important. I put on your desk a forestry field day flyer, just the information. For all of you people in the city and outside the city, if you're interested in coming to a demonstration, it's always been in the southern part of the RCND district. It's up in North Skedaddon, which is right down the road from us here this year, on the 3rd and 4th of October. So if you take those flyers and put them up in some public place, I would appreciate it. If you make a copy and look at it and then post it someplace.
Steve.
One other item, the Lakeview Business Park Master Plan and that whole area has been discussed by the Economic Development Fund. It will be on a future agenda item. We want to meet directly with the Village Board of West Salem and get their input. It'll be either the policy planning meeting of November 3rd or December 8th, and we'll get back to you on the schedule of that. We want more input and insight from West Salem. The Economic Development Fund has had input as well, but that will be coming up and is a future item that I think you'd be interested in seeing.
Maureen.
I've been trying to call Mr. O'Malley. He has called me back, but we've missed each other. I've been asked about wheel taxes in light of the fact that Milwaukee has recently made the decision to go to wheel taxes on vehicles, and I wonder if we could hear something about that. I think the whole county board might be interested in hearing about that.
That sounds good. And speaking of things with wheels, my ambulance commission proposal is up before judiciary and law tomorrow and executive on Wednesday. No, the city withdrew theirs. The mayor did. But I didn't withdraw mine. Other items? There are motion to adjourn. I think I see Bob Kyle's hands starting to shoot up, right, Bob? Moved by Bob, seconded by Dennis Montai. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.